us this morning. But before we do, let's just bow our heads in prayer. And let's crack a little bit here. Father, we just thank you so much for your presence in our lives and your presence here this morning. God, we are not a perfect people. We need your presence. We need your power to work in and through our lives. God, we need you this morning. So Lord, we just humbly come before you looking for your direction and looking for your leadership in our lives. God, you are the best leader that has ever existed in your son, Jesus. And so, God, we just submit to you this morning. We humbly come before the words of Justin and the word that he's going to share with us this morning. Bless him, keep him, and make his face shine upon us as we meet this morning, and help us to go out better than we came. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello, hello. Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to see you guys. I still feel kind of a little bit naked up here without a guitar in front of me, so just ignore, like, pretend like I'm holding a guitar, and then I can feel a little bit more comfortable. Hi, Petra. welcome to Transformation Church. It's really good to be here together with family, because that's what this is, and it's my pleasure to share with you guys today. I'm going to gather my notes here so I can kind of stay on track here on with the topic today. So just a little bit more about me to start off. I don't know if you guys, some of you may have known this, but I grew up, I'm actually a pastor's kid. My parents were pastors growing up, and maybe some I know at least some people here can relate to that. Life kind of in our family was a little different. And so family time looked a little different than what it might look like in a lot of other families. Family time was always on the road, at someone's house, you know, in a van full of other people, at church, in our house. But, family time was always open. There was a lot of people involved with family. So when it came to actually hanging out with family, it looked a little different than what it might in some families. But when it came to Christmas, in our family, Christmas was kind of sacred. So Christmas time, you know, this was the time when my family would just be, you know, my parents, I have a brother and a sister, we'd have Christmas Day together. You know, this was our closed holiday. This was, you know, just a sacred time to be together, just as family. And that's kind of how things were, though, growing up. You know, life was busy as my siblings got older. My parents would often be gone, and I'd be at home, you know, with my older brother and my older sister. And so that's kind of the environment that I grew up in. And in 2003, my family moved to Paris, Paris, Texas, not Paris, France. we moved right to kind of like the Bible Belt of America. And we moved to a place, near Paris, Texas there. And when we got there, I want to tell you a little bit about someone named Naitha. Now, Naitha, she kind of was in the neighborhood that we were. And she had a little bit of, as soon as we got there, we heard about Naitha. She had a bit of a reputation that preceded her. She tended to be in kind of like in the church circle and the circles around where we were. And we heard, you know, about Naitha, you know, she was a street racer. She very much, you know, hung out with the wrong crowd. And so she was close in age to my sister. And so once my sister started, she became good friends with Naitha, and they started hanging out together. And I remember people warned my parents, they're like, watch out for this one, you know. but her and my sister became good friends. I remember one time we hadn't lived there very long. I was in the car with my dad, and we ended up pulling up in a red light, right next to Naitha. And so my dad was behind the wheel, and he started gunning the engine, you know, and just pretend, you know, when the light turned green, he pretended to race her, and this shattered her mind of what a preacher was. I guess she had never seen a reverend revving his engine, you know. So anyway, probably from that day on, her and my dad became like best buds, And my sister and her ended up, you know, moving into a house together. And I can't tell you exactly when or how it happened, but Nitha became a part of our family. She became so much a part of our family that it got to the point where family Christmas wasn't right unless if she was there, unless if she was a part of our family Christmas. Yeah, the other thing about Nitha is every police officer in the county knew her by name. she was, in many ways, in this environment, she was a breath of fresh air. You know, she was. So I'll tell you a little bit more about her later. But we're jumping into the story of Rahab, and Rahab enters this Israel story at a really interesting point in their journey. So if you know a little bit about Israel and kind of how Israel as a nation was born, Israel, you know, started from a family, and this family grew into a nation, spending, you know, a long time in Egypt, and their environment in Egypt, you know, they were slaves, and finally by the time they were freed, you know, they had been through a lot together, and then after that they went through the desert for 40 years together. Now, I can't imagine an environment that would create a much more, like, tightly knit family than that, hey? Kind of growing up in difficult circumstances, you know, having that period through the wilderness. So finally, when they get, are at the point in the story where they are coming into the home, you know, that God promised, right? God promised them this land that he was going to bring them into. And so they're just at the doorway, just coming into their home. And that's when we meet this character named Rahab. So if you have your Bibles with you, you can turn to Joshua chapter 2. The verses should be up on the screen. We're gonna read this whole chapter together just to kind of give us a taste of the story, what's happening here. Then Joshua, son of Nun, secretly sent two spies from Shittim. Go look over the land, he said, especially Jericho. So they went and entered the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there. The king of Jericho was told, look, some of the Israelites have come here tonight to spy out the land. So the king of Jericho sent this message to Rahab. Bring out the men who came to you and entered your house because they have come to spy out the whole land. But the woman taking the two men, the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. She said, yes, the men came to me, but I do not know where they had come from. At dusk, when it was time to close the city gate, the men left. I don't know which way they went. Go after them quickly. You may catch up with them. But she had taken them up to the roof and hidden them under the stalks of flax she had laid out on the roof. So the men set out in pursuit of the spies on the road that leads to the fords of the Jordan, and as soon as the pursuers had got out, the gate was shut. Before the spies lay down for the night, she went up on the roof and said to them, I know that the Lord has given this land to you and that a great fear has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea, for when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. When we heard of it, our hearts melted, and everyone's courage failed because of you, for the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on the earth below. Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family, because I have shown kindness to you. Give me a sure sign that you will spare the lives of my father and mother, my brothers and sisters, all who belong to them, that you will save us from death. Our lives for your lives, the men assured her. If you don't tell what we are doing, we will treat you kindly and faithfully when the Lord gives us the land. So she let them down by a rope through the window, for the house she lived in was part of the city wall. Now she had said to them, go to the hills, so the pursuers will not find you. Hide yourselves there 3 days until they return, and then go on your way. The men said to her, this oath you made us swear it will not be binding unless when we enter the land you have tied this scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down. And unless you have brought your father and mother and your brothers and all your family into your house. If anyone goes outside your house in the street, his blood will be on his own head. We will not be responsible. For anyone who is in the house with you, his blood will be on our head if a hand is laid on him. But if you tell what we are doing, we will be released from the oath you made us swear. Agreed, she said. Let it be as you say. So she sent them away and departed and tied the scarlet cord in the window. When they left, they went into the hills and stayed there 3 days until the pursuers had reached all along the road and returned without finding them. Then the two men started back. They went down out of the hills, forded the river, and came to Joshua, son of Nun, and told him everything that had happened to them. They said to Joshua, "The Lord has surely given the whole land into our hands. All the people are melting in fear because of us." We've been going through a series called Family Matters, and we've been talking about what does it look like to be a part of a family, to be a part of the church, because that's what the church is called to. You know, what's it actually look like to live life together as a family, to share life together, you know, in the middle of the messiness of being a family. And today, the title of the sermon is Grafted. Because this is part of what God has called his people to. And I'll get a little bit more into why I chose that word. But as we read the story of Rahab, Israel is moving in to the land, we see God working things out, putting up a situation in which they meet Rahab, and Rahab is brought into this family. Now, kind of an interesting thing to note, if you go a little ways back in the story to when Israel was freed from the land of Egypt, if you guys know the story, you know, Egypt had these different plagues, and you know, the leader of Egypt kept, you know, he would say, yeah, you can go, no, you can't. And finally, the last one, kind of the last straw that broke the camel's back, was a plague in which all the Egyptians lost their firstborn son. And if you'll remember, what happened is that the Israelites put blood on their doorposts. And because they put blood on their doorposts, their firstborn was spared. And if you kind of know the story of the Bible, you understand that this blood on the doorpost, it was the blood of a lamb. This was a foreshadowing. This was pointing to the sacrifice, which would bring all of us into the family of God, right? Jesus and his sacrifice of his own life was what spared our lives, is why we can be a part of the family. And so it's really fascinating what is happening here with Rahab, because as Israel is coming into this new land, you know, finally they're getting into this land that's been promised as their home, they meet Rahab. And did you guys catch what Rahab tied in her window? It was a scarlet thread. And in some ways, it's like part of this same story. She's the firstborn of the nations that Israel is meeting. And actually, if you go back right to, you know, God's call on Abraham, who's kind of like the father of the family, you'll see that this is actually very much a part of Israel's job description. Israel was meant to be a blessing to the nations around them. And while they were, you know, this family, they weren't supposed to be a closed, tight family. The family model that God, you know, called Israel to be was an open family welcoming people and being a blessing, bringing people in to the family, not just, you know, shut up tight. And so that's, it's a really interesting story to see how God brings someone into the family. And this is what he's called them to. And you'll see this kind of theme of adoption is actually an ongoing theme throughout Scripture. The Bible talks a lot about being adopted into God's family. It often uses even that word. And it actually talks about all of us being adopted, brought into God's family. I want to read one more short few verses together in the book of Galatians. So if you want to turn to Galatians chapter 4, I'm going to just read verse 4 to 7. I think it should be up on the screen there. But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Because you are sons, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, the spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. Since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. In other translations here, instead of the word redeem, it says actually uses the word adopted. But it's talking about how we're brought in to the family. And when we're actually, you know, welcomed into God's family as his children. And so, so this theme kind of us being adopted, of God bringing us into his family, you'll see it kind of throughout all of Scripture. There was this man named Sam Van Aken. He was a sculptor, and he ended up with this piece of property that had all these fruit trees on it, and he got the idea in his mind that it would be really beautiful to put together a tree through grafting. And if you guys know what grafting is when you have a tree, and there's different ways of doing it, but you take a piece of another kind of tree and you insert it into the tree, and it'll grow and it'll become part of the tree. And those two trees will become one tree. Well, he had this idea of taking a whole bunch of different fruit trees and putting it into one fruit tree. And he came up with this tree of 40 fruits. It's one tree, but it produces 40 different kind of stone fruits. And it's this beautiful tree. I had meant to have a picture of it up. He thought how beautiful it would be to have one tree that has, you know, all these different colored blossoms, growing all these different kinds of fruit. I saw a picture where you know, as they picked the fruit from the tree, they ended up with this basket of like all these different kinds of fruit growing at one time. And in the Bible, in the book of Romans, it actually says that all of us, at least all of us who are non-Jews, non-Israelites, we've been grafted in, we've been brought into the family of God. And if you know a little bit about like horticulture, about growing trees, there's a reason why they graft trees, you know? There we go. There's the picture. There's the picture. You see all the different colors. There's a lot of benefits to grafting. Often grafting makes a tree stronger. It makes it more resilient. You know, when pests come or disease come, that tree is actually stronger because of the grafting. Or sometimes, you know, it'll have a longer growing season. It'll be more drought tolerant. You know, you often end up with a stronger tree because of this grafting process. And it's the same with our family. You know, it's actually good and healthy, and it's for the benefit and the growth and the strengthening of our family, that our family is open and you know, people are welcomed in. When you look at the story of Rahab, I mean, you see the obvious benefit for Rahab, right? Israel's charging in, and she's like, "Okay, I don't want to die. I want my life to be saved." There was benefit for her, but was there any benefit for Israel in gaining Rahab into their family? Rahab is actually mentioned multiple other places in the Bible. One of the places that you see Rahab mentioned is right at the beginning of the book of Matthew, when it talks about the genealogy of Jesus. Rahab is one of the few women who's actually mentioned in there. Rahab, was the mother of Boaz, who is in the book of Ruth, the man that she married. So kind of, you know, you see a little bit of this theme of bringing someone into the family carried on. And Ruth was the great-grandmother of David, King David, if you've heard of him. He wrote a lot of the book of Psalms. And David, you know, he united the kingdom, and through David's line, we actually end up with Jesus, the Messiah, the Savior, the person who gave his life for us and welcomed us all into the family of Israel. And so you see that God worked it out so that by bringing Rahab into this family, he did a beautiful thing. And what a wealthy and beautiful thing to happen to Israel, to the nation of Israel, you know, by what God did by bringing Rahab into the family. You see Rahab mentioned even in the New Testament. She's honored as a person of faith, and she's actually mentioned more in the New Testament than Joshua is, you know, the leader of the Israelites at the time. I want to talk, just kind of get back to tell you a little bit more about my dear sister Nitha. Nitha was not your typical kind of churchy person. You know, didn't exactly look like, you know, kind of in that Bible belt of I think my mic's slipping here. Kind of in that Bible Belt of America, you know, where we're being kind of Christian was just part of the culture. She didn't look like your typical person. But I can honestly tell you that in my whole life, I can't say I've ever met someone with a more genuine faith, a more genuine humility, a more genuine love for Jesus, and that played out in the love she had for those around her, the Naita. When I was in university through a series of events, I ended up in a pretty horrible crisis. You know, I was young and foolish, and I ended up in a really, really tough place. And Naita was actually the very first person I turned to for help at the time. And she came along and she helped me at a time where I really was in need. And a little while later, I actually did a smart thing for once in my life. I married Lauren. And so as Lauren was coming into the family, when she met Naita, Naita gave her such a warm welcome into the family. She said, "Justin's my brother, that makes you my sister." And she welcomed her in, and Lauren felt so welcomed to the family. In 2019, Naita passed away, and I remember the day that she passed away. It felt like a cloud coming in front of the sun, like the whole earth had grown a shade darker. But she made such a difference. When we were at her burial, she had such an impact on the. I told you how all the police knew her by name. There actually, as during her burial, a whole procession of police and firefighters came by and blazed their sirens because they had actually been blessed by her. You know, over the course of the years, that was the kind of person where even though she was getting pulled over, she ended up having such a positive impact everywhere she went. And while, you know, at first I thought it was my family that was helping her out, I look back now and I think, man, what a blessing. And I'm thinking of our family here. You know, sorry. I'll get my voice back here in a second. One of my prayers for transformation, we've been through a year, and when Nathan left, I was praying that God would bring us together as a family. Sorry. And praise God, I think he has. God has been bringing us closer. But let's not forget what kind of family we're called to be. You know, as families grow closer, often they can grow tighter and closed. And my prayer is that we'll be the kind of family that God has called us to be. And that's not just these four walls, right? God brought us into this big, beautiful family that, you know, is gathering all around the world in different parts of the city. And we're called to be an open family. A family that welcomes people in. And yes, there's risk to bringing someone into your family. There's risk to bringing someone into your home. You know, Jesus, who adopted 12 brothers, he had one of his brothers betray him. But you know, what a blessing it is to welcome someone into your home. What richness can we gain from welcoming someone who might look very different, someone who might be very different from us, but being an open, welcoming family, you know, what a blessing that can be for us as a family. Now maybe you're here today and you're like, I don't know, maybe you just happened to come, or maybe you don't feel like you quite kind of exactly fit in with, you know, like the churchy crowd. Maybe you're not don't feel like, you know, you're you know, part of the khaki pants, collared shirt type of person, or maybe here at Transformation it's more like a 30-something-year-old male with a short beard. My name's Justin, by the way, for those of you who don't know me. But I also answer to Nathan or Jeremy or Caleb. Caleb did a favor and shaved down to a mustache, so we might not get confused quite as often. But I mean, in all seriousness, you maybe you don't feel like you fit in, like to the church family. But But do you know what a blessing you can be to this family, to this family? Like maybe like Rahab, you have a past, or you have something where you're like, I don't know if anyone can understand where I'm coming from. Maybe no one understands what I've been through, where I'm coming from. Maybe no one here, you know, you just feel like you don't fit in. But do you know, God has a family that he wants you to be a part of. And it's a big, messy family, you know, far from perfect. Sometimes, you know, we wake up grumpy in the morning and the coffee is not on yet. But you know, God's working on us. He's working on us. He's loving and he's gracious with us, and he's working on us, making a better and more strong and healthy family, and a family that gets to spend forever together. And God wants you to be a part of that family. He wants all of us to be a part of this family, and this family is richer to have you as a part of it. So just as we're closing up this series on family matters, let's just remember, you know, what kind of family God has called us to be. Let's close off with a word of prayer. Our good Father, I thank you. I thank you for the family, for this family, for this pocket of your big, diverse family, and I thank you for the opportunity that we have to get together here on a Sunday. And I know that this isn't just the only place where we're family, but we're family wherever we're getting together, wherever we're gathering together, God. And yes, we're at times a very messy family. We don't always see eye to eye. We don't always, you know, maybe we don't always get along in every moment, but yet you've called us to be a family. You've called us to be a support for each other, to stick together, God, and I thank you that you don't give up on us when we mess up, but you that you continue to just welcome us as your child, and that you work on us, God. And I just pray for us as a church, as we move forward from here, Father, that you would just continue to remind us what kind of family you want us to be, God, and I just pray that for anyone who doesn't feel like maybe they fit in to your family, Father, I just pray that they would feel your love, your care, and just understand, you know, how beautiful and how wonderful you've made each and every person, and how you want us to be part of a family together, God. And so we thank you, God, for your love and your care, and for always walking with us, God. And so we just we commit this part of your family to you, God. Guide us and direct us as we move forward from here, God, and we thank you that you're always with us every step of the way. Amen.
All right, well, I invite you to stand with us. We're going to close with a song before we head downstairs.